You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome in here. Busy afternoon. A lot happening. We understand that there's plenty of basketball on up and down the dial. We will keep you updated throughout the day, so you don't have to watch anything but us. Yeah. Let's get to some headlines here on this Thursday afternoon. And the reports out of the New York Times says a fourth Alabama basketball player was present on the strip in Tuscaloosa back in January as the at the fatal shooting. Alabama has hotly denied the story just moments before they get ready to take on their NCAA opponent. The response from the school: your story is inaccurate. Based on the information we have, there were no current student athletes present at the scene other than Brandon Miller and Jaden Bradley, who are both fully cooperating from the outset. UA Athletics has fully cooperated with law enforcement and supported their investigation. Kai Spears' statement, he's the player, and there's some debate on his actual status as a walk-on. We'll get back to that part in a minute. He said, I have one thing to say. The report in the New York Times was 100% inaccurate, and the writer had complete disregard for the truth. Sounds like a lawyer wrote that. I am trying to process and cope with these false statements that somehow have been published and then seen by so many. So thankful at Alabama Athletics for refuting it on my behalf. More than anything, I remain completely heartbroken by the tragic death that occurred. We have reached out to Billy Witz, the reporter from the New York Times. He is standing by his story. So a lot of sound and fury connected to the denials. The university maintains that there were not four players at the scene. They will take on, their game begins in a couple of minutes, and we'll update you on that throughout the afternoon. NBA scouts will be watching to see if Anthony Black can pass his final test. Arkansas playing Illinois later this afternoon. Mizzou spring game moved inside. Como is cold. It's supposed to be a high of 31 on Saturday. Eli Drinkwitz says, let's get out of the cold. It's the middle of March. It's one thing if this happens in November. Meanwhile, Jalen Carter pleads nolo contendere, actually no contest if you don't speak any language other than Georgia-ese, to the charges of reckless driving and racing. Chris Marler from Saturday down south and some other places, I believe. Chris, thanks for joining us. So much to unpack there. Let us begin with Jalen Carter. I'm old enough to remember when he was a top five pick in this year's NFL draft. Good afternoon, and what in the world is going on with him?
Yeah, it's great. Thank you for having me, Paul. The Jalen Carter thing is somebody that's lived in Atlanta his whole life. Obviously, the situation that unfolded, I think it seemed to be there was, I think there was a lot of pushback from the initial reports and, you know, the whole online battle it seemed between Georgia fans and the AJC and all that good stuff, all that bad stuff, I guess I should probably say. But the last week or so, like I still maintain from a athletic and like a physicality and just a talent standpoint, Jalen Carter is probably the best and most can't miss prospect in this draft. He has had a tremendously bad last 2 weeks. Now, I've given some bad interviews. Professionally, obviously, I've done it on here as well. I'll take full blame for that. But him going into what is essentially a job interview and not being able to finish some of his drills and being out of breath, putting on 9 pounds in 2 weeks. Now, that I could totally understand. Not a great look. I don't know how far he's going to fall. You have Todd McShay had him, I think, outside of his top 12, which if you would have told me that a month ago, that would be shocking. As a Falcons fan, I pray that he drops to 8 because I think that he is still a can't miss prospect. But as more of this unfolds, you hope for just the sake of everyone involved that there's not more to the story, especially from like a legal standpoint or a responsibility standpoint that he had from the tragedy that happened in January. But it's been a bizarre 2 weeks for him.
Yeah, and listen, the thing at the combine, it all happened. It blew up. He went back. I mean, he got a lot of credit for doing what he did, and a lot of people were still behind him. But how can you show up at your pro day and look like me and you trying to go through those drills for NFL head? I mean, it was completely it was disgraceful to see somebody as good as him look that bad.
It was on par, in my opinion, from a pro day standpoint. It was on par with when Andre Smith decided to take his shirt off and run the 40 in like whatever year that was at Alabama. Because that is and that will live in infamy on the internet for sure. Physically, he obviously looks better than that. But yeah, it was again, like, this is a job interview. And I think when you heard all this stuff about Todd McShay saying there's character issues and whether or not that's true, whether that's a smokescreen from a GM or a front office that's trying to make him fall in the draft because they want to get him, I don't know. But this was something we all saw with our own two eyes. And it was just a bad look. I thought the worst look that was going to come of this was when he left the combine. And I don't know who allowed this to happen, but they allowed him to take a mugshot with the shirt he was wearing at the combine. I don't know if this is necessarily worse than that, but it's just been the optics of everything that's happened over the last 2 weeks are just not good for him professionally.
Well, speaking of that, let me switch gears before we get back to some football matters to the Brandon Miller situation. It is literally unfolding in front of our eyes. The game still about 20 minutes away in Birmingham. The national media has swooped in there like locust. The story today in the New York Times puts a fourth player at the scene. And by the way, this guy, very few people had ever heard of this guy before. Right. His father happens to be the AD at Marshall. He issued a denial that, we're coming after the New York Times and the school. I've never seen a university try so hard to refute a story that, quite frankly, doesn't mean very much. Do you understand this?
I don't. There's not been a single thing that University or Nate Oates has done during all of this that has made me feel good or that they've done something correctly. And I hate to say that. I know it's a very difficult situation. Jamea Harris, as a single mother at the age of 23, I was raised by a single mother. That part just, rips me apart. I think it's awful. The tragedy that happened is absolutely horrible. And now we're, a couple months removed from the date that it happened. And it seems like there's it's like an ever-changing or ever-evolving probably story, and we're learning more and more, I think, because like you said, like the university, who's kind of been a little bit quiet about most of this, this is the first time they immediately come out and refute the story. The AD, like you said, at Marshall, it's his son, he refutes the story. Now that, the player himself refutes the story, all of it is so bizarre, and it seems like none of it makes you feel settled, right? Like it's still such a horrible, horrible tragedy that happened, but it does kind of feel like it's being put in all these different directions. You made the best point here, and that's the fact that national media is descending on Birmingham, because college basketball throughout the season is not something, it's not like college ball where everyone seems to be tuned into it because you have one game a week and there's so many games, but everyone is tuned into March Madness. And I don't know if Alabama, the team, Nate Oates, like the fans or whatever you want to say, Brandon Miller himself, are really prepared for what's about to be the microscope and lens that they're going to be under nationally.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not whether this guy was there or not in Brandon Miller's car. That's for the authorities to determine. Mm-hmm. But I just can't quite get over the university pushing back this hard on a story. And it doesn't really change anything. I mean, the question isn't whether the entire team was there. It's about Brandon Miller. Had this come out the first day, Chris, I guess maybe this is what they would have been concerned about. Had the headline been on day two after the first day story about the tragedy, four Alabama basketball players at the scene, mm-hmm. It probably would have gotten a little bit more attention, don't you think?
Without a doubt. So it is, the timing of it is I would say odd, but it's not. It's not odd from a timing standpoint because it's coming out right before they play their first game of the tournament. So all of that seems to make sense to me from like a media standpoint, whether it's right or wrong or, you know, like should have happened or not. But I do think it is very bizarre to talk about, like you said, like it's the main issue here is Brandon Miller. The main issue also is Darius Miles and the young man that pulled the trigger as well. And I think all of this looks – maybe it's something where the story is getting so convoluted and away from like the actual facts of the case. Part of me has to think that they wouldn't have been this adamant at Alabama if it wasn't something they were completely 100% like I guess knowing that it's correct, that their information is correct and not the New York Times. But again, the university and Nate Oates especially has handled every single part of this so poorly at every turn, it seems like, that it's hard to really, it's like I'm just scratching my head like at every single new piece of information that comes out.
Let's get to spring for just a second. I know we're bouncing around here, but in terms of the camps, and they're not all open yet. Alabama's yet to be determined. A few others are about. Which school of the current 14, it's about to change, are you most interested in during the spring?
Well, it's Vanderbilt, Paul, and it always is. It always is in the springtime. No, I'm kidding, obviously. You know, Mizzou this weekend is not – that doesn't really move the needle as much for me. I was shocked that they were even playing because it seems so early. I hate to say this. I hate to be that guy. But for me, it's Tennessee and the quarterback situation there. I wonder if the freshman Nico can – I'm not going to attempt to say his last name and embarrass myself or his last name on here. But I think the quarterback competition, I wonder if that is all Joe Milton's or if it's Joe Milton's to lose. I want to know what the quarterback room is going to look like at Alabama and Georgia as well. It's an odd situation because I think at some point you're going to have a natural drop off in talent at Alabama, like you've seen at several positions, offensive line, receiver. I think the coordinators as well, because you go from Kippen and Sark and then you go to Bill O'Brien, who statistically put up great numbers. Bama fans don't want to hear that. The quarterback rooms in Athens and Tuscaloosa are the ones I'm most interested in, because I think in Athens, I do think it's Carson Beck's to lose regardless of what Kirby said. I think at Alabama, everyone is kind of just assumed, well, we saw Jalen Milroe play one game and he looked bad, and they don't have anybody with any kind of experience after that with Ty Simpson. It's not like there's a lack of talent there. This isn't even like the A.J. McCarron days. It's like, well, we had a 4-star kid. Like these are Ty Simpson's a 5-star. They've got a lot of talent in that room. Feel like Saban, if he wasn't as confident with who he has, he probably would have pushed a little bit more for some of these quarterbacks we saw in the portal. You know, like the kid from Wake that it's, you know, went to Notre Dame or Devin Leary that went to Kentucky. I just feel like he probably would have pushed a little bit harder for them. In Athens, I'll give you a hot take. I don't even know how hot of a take it is. I think Brock Vandergriff is the starter at Auburn at some point during this season. I don't think he stays in Athens much more after spring. And I could be totally wrong about that. I've been wrong 1,000 times. I just think that's something to really keep an eye on.
Great stuff. Chris, many thanks. You're looking great. We appreciate your time always on this first day of the tournament. Thanks so much. Before we head to the break, Alabama is about to start. And just keeping one eye on the coverage, if you're an Alabama fan and you're not at the Legacy Arena today, you're in for a long afternoon. Before the game, before they even went to Birmingham, Barkley and company spent a couple of minutes rehashing the Brandon Miller story. They go to the game. Everybody's expecting the game to start. Jim Nance does a fact sheet of the Jamaya Harris situation. Then they go to Tracy Wolfson, recapping it all. So it's as if this is CBS's first bite of the apple, and they are not missing a moment. And we said it was going to be the story of the NCAA tournament other than upsets and bracket busters, it is. We'll take a short break. Get your reaction to all of that when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. Bill Conley and Billy Lucci will join us, and we'll try to give you updates throughout the day. Alabama scored a touchdown and went for two and is up 8-0 right now over Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Actually, I got the wrong sport. It's basketball. We will update you throughout the afternoon. We're well aware of the games going on, and we will update you on all of them that matter as we get moving. Let's get to the calls, though, for the first time today, and Jimmy is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Jimmy.
Hello, sir. It's good to talk to you. Watch your program all the time.
Well, thank you.
But I cannot understand why Brandon Miller is playing basketball when what he did is just about as bad as shooting that girl. Had he not carried that gun down there, that young lady would probably still be alive. And Alabama is so desperate to win, they're letting him play ball. That's unbelievable. Thank you very much.
Peggy is up next in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Hello, Peggy.
Ooh, hello, Paul. I tell you, it's kind of weird to, you know, feelings. I can imagine being in that seat there to, you know, surf through all this, you know, with that situation and with the new information. And I usually have something I want to talk to you about. I've been sitting on this John Ward story forever. I don't know, you know, by the time I get to talk to you, I don't know. I think I better just go ahead and tell you a short, condensed version of it. Okay. Are you familiar with the Open Hearth that used to operate a real nice restaurant back? It opened new in the 80s, early 80s,
yeah,
up in Gatlinburg.
Sure.
You remember it?
I do.
Well, I was one of the waitresses that helped them move in. I mean, came from Cosby. If you know where Gatlinburg is, I'm sure you're familiar with Cosby.
Sure. Absolutely.
And worked up there, and boy, that was the place. We had Alabama up there. That place was rocking. And Mr. Miller, the owner, he represented the National Restaurant Association. Jack Miller was president, you know, of the whole country. That's something, you know, as Tennesseans that we could look back on and be really proud of. But I had a section and we had all big wheels, you know, there that night, you know, alumni from UT and everything. This is like right at the end of 79, I believe it was. And I go to this table and I give them their water and I tell them my name, you know, hi, I'm Peggy, I'll be your waitress this evening. And I commence to tell them what the specials are. And I stepped back, you know, and the guy asked me some questions, and he asked his wife, you know, if she knew something. I'm just standing there looking at him like, you know, I can't even, Elvis might as well be standing there. And I just didn't even look up, and I said, excuse me, sir. I said, are you the voice of the boss? And he just said, why, yes, little lady, I sure am. I was more than thrilled, honey. I mean, I might as well have met, you know, like I said, to me, I've listened to him since I was 6 years old. So I was waiting on him and serving him and his wife. They were special guests of Mr. and Miss Miller's. And then after that, whenever he got a chance to come back, he came up there and I was his waitress.
Well, that's a great story. I remember John so well as a student, as somebody who got to know him even better professionally. And I think John forever will be one of the most important and greatest legends and heroes in the university's history. Thank you so much for sharing that, Peggy. You take care of yourself. Sandra is in Austin, and you are on the air. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Paul. It's been a long time since I've talked to you.
Well, thank you, Sandra.
Yeah, you look mighty dapper today before I get to what I want
to
say.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I just was wondering if it was going to be possible for us to get through today and tomorrow without some kind of 10-cent theology or science, or, you know, seminary class. I mean, come on, callers. This is getting to be a little bit much.
It's really all because of one person. It's because of two people, Sandra. I shouldn't blame one person. There's one person who believes in being Elmer Gantry on the show, and the other person is me, because I'm stupid enough to engage.
Well, I know, and for a little while it's great, but the premise of the show is SEC news and sports, as far as my understanding goes.
That was the original the original premise.
Okay. So, being if we're going to be like a church-based show, maybe you should take up an offering or something. What do you think?
Well, I should. I should. In fact, it's a good way to get rich, because
right?
You know, Jim Baker has already left me the template how to do it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Yeah, exactly. Get her some makeup and whatever. But anyway, I just wanted to encourage...
A little makeup won't work.
Oh, yeah, probably not. Probably not. I just wanted to encourage callers to keep it to the subject at hand and not people's theology, and let's move forward. Just a thought.
Well, thank you very, very much. Logan is up next. Hello, Logan. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How do we get through the show this far without talking about that bombshell that got dropped yesterday on the program, very last caller? You know what I'm referring to.
Well, for those who missed it, and I know I didn't, explain what you are referring to.
So for the first time, I don't know, Paul, I haven't watched you for 20 years, but as far as I know, no one has ever known about Jim, anything about him. I had no idea what he was, what he looked like, who he was. Yesterday, we had a caller call in that said he knew Jim personally, or he knew Jim. He's met him many times, and
correct,
he basically dropped the bombshell on what Jim was, who he was.
Yeah, he described this guy said he knew Jim. He knew Jim. He was. I would rather not be quoted describing what he said. Could you help me out here, Logan, as a friend of the show? Tell the audience what he said, the highlights.
Sure. I think he said he was, quote, schizophrenic, or he acts schizophrenic. He said he was not a young man. He was an old man.
Right.
He was a little man.
Little man. Yeah, I thought that was the line that got me. He said Jim was a little man.
He was a little man.
Yeah.
And that he was a good athlete, but he got picked on in school.
Yeah,
so,
right. Yeah, I mean, the insinuation was it took me all night. Jim kind of got run off. He was a good athlete for a while, but he was frail, old, small. A couple of psychological issues. Well,
yes.
I mean, what's schizophrenic to you may not be schizophrenic to me.
That's right.
Well, the thing is, I'm not laughing about mental illness, Paul, because I'm serious about it. But what I'm laughing about is the guy won't get help. I mean, it's like an alcoholic. You know, you got to ask for help. If you're schizophrenic and you're hearing voices in your head and you think it's God, it's probably time to get down to your local psychiatrist as fast as possible. And if he can't afford one.
What was particularly disappointing, Logan, was I offered, he tried to characterize me as unfit to consider him my brother. And that was harsh.
Yeah, he started attacking your religion, Paul.
Yeah, he did.
And that was, I was glad you cut him off at that point. That was ridiculous.
And this was a day after he had called me the devil. Well, he incorrectly called me the devil incarnate. I tried to help him out saying, I think it's the devil incarnate. But he didn't, he called me If you're called the devil incarnate, does it count? Even if the pronunciation is slightly off.
Close
enough. Okay.
Well,
essentially,
when it's Jim,
he called
it probably
me the
does.
Devil.
So I guess in Jim's mind, that's the way that his voice has pronounced it. So.
Okay.
Maybe that's what he's
just for the record, Logan, I vehemently deny I'm the devil. And anyone who claims I'm the devil, I think it's demonstrably false. And we'll be right back. Not completely, just demonstrably. Bill Connelly will join us in a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We keep rolling along here on a busy Thursday afternoon, an update on the NCAA tournament. There have been a few surprises so far, but big topic of our conversation is the spring and the ultimate fall football season. And Bill Connelly joining us, always a must see. And Bill, thank you for the time. You've done a lot of pieces, but most recently talking about season-defining games for each top 25 team. Good afternoon. Welcome in. And let's start with the Dogs. Last year, during the regular season, the big game of the year was at home late in the year against Tennessee. What's it going to be this time around?
I mean, there aren't too many options, I don't think. You can kind of talk yourself into, you know, at Auburn kind of early in the season's a little weird and all that. But, I mean, it has to be the trip to Knoxville. You know, Tennessee should be top 10 caliber again. Might not be any other top 10 caliber opponents on the schedule, at least the regular season schedule. And so you really, even though it's the 11th game of the year, you really kind of have to start with that one, I think.
Alabama has a little different schedule. They have a couple of meaty games. Last year, there was a much ballyhooed going to Austin. This year, they returned the game. And I'm just assuming, I don't know anything, that has to be the biggest game of the year. You got Texas coming in with maybe Arch Manning. You've got Sarkisian. I mean, forget the SEC schedule. It has to be Texas, right?
Well, I think that's what we ended up going with. I do think, I mean, you got a revenge tour later in the year. You got Tennessee and LSU coming to town back to back, but that is obviously going to be the biggest game of week two. And, you know, it's not a revenge game, I guess, because they pulled that one out last year, but Texas did manage to send a little bit of a message early on to Alabama and about Alabama, I guess. So you would assume that's going to be a heck of an atmosphere and Alabama will be ready for ready to throw some punches.
I think this will be easy because we've had a number of commentators already, Bill, who are making a case for LSU to be the SEC West champion. I don't think that's going to be the way the media votes. I don't think the pollsters will agree, but clearly LSU at Alabama, it's a revenge game of many of many colors for the Crimson Tide. Is that the game you picked?
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, having Florida State in week one, that really might be the biggest week one game. And you know, we'll know a lot about what LSU's aspirations should be. But, yeah, I mean, Alabama is always a huge game. And when you beat them and then you have to go to Tuscaloosa to defend your West title, no less. This could be a case where LSU might actually be a little better overall in 2023. But, you know, Alabama is probably going to be ready. There are a lot of games on this schedule and it's going to be you figure it's going to be pretty hard for them to repeat.
If you look at the Tennessee schedule, and we're chatting with Bill Connelly, you could take a lot of picks. I mean, we've already talked about the home game against Georgia, whether or not that's for the SEC East crown. You look a little bit deeper into the schedule. They have A&M at home. That could be a big game. At Alabama, at Kentucky, at Missouri, Georgia. So tell me, it's got to be one of those games, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's always Alabama, I think, when you think you have a chance at Alabama. But you're right. I mean, this is, you've got kind of a game of the year in September, a game of the year in October, and a game of the year in November. I guess, you know, that's SEC living right there, especially when you have lots of aspirations. I'm always going to pick Alabama when push comes to shove in this kind of situation. But, I mean, if you're Georgia's game of the year, I guess Georgia better be your game of the year, too, if you think about it.
You know, in Tennessee, an interesting game, though. Tennessee plays at Florida this year in Knoxville. That was the let's finally escape exercise our right. demons. But that would be tricky. Tennessee has had a long history of nightmares in Gainesville.
Yeah, and that early in the season, obviously, as this game usually falls, you know, this is going to be whatever your goals are for the year, it's going to be really, really hard to achieve them. Even if you upset Alabama or Georgia later on, if you lose to Florida, it's going to be hard to meet all of those goals. So you don't want to have your hand tied behind your back that early in the year. And Florida's kind of a mystery this year. And, you know, they lost some key guys, but they signed a top 15 class, lots of transfers. We don't really know what to expect from them, but Tennessee better be ready, I guess.
I think you've got Ole Miss and LSU, but I'm curious about Ole Miss because, Bill, you've got a good quarterback room, maybe a great quarterback room, but yep. The Rebels lost five straight games. I mean, they were once a top five, top 10 team, and it all came undone. What do you make out of Lane Kiffin's team in the upcoming season? The non-conference games, Mercer, Tulane, Georgia Tech, Monroe. I mean, Tulane, I mean, by the way, as I was chortling, I forgot about Tulane. They're a pretty good team.
Yeah, and I mean, when you're starting to look toward Alabama 2 weeks later, you know, when you're gearing up for a good rebound season, having to go to Tulane in week two is the perfect opportunity to stub your toe. And, you know, Tulane, what we saw for them last year, they're really fast. They're an athletic team for an AAC team. And yeah, that'll be a nice test of concentration, if nothing else. Ole Miss has to be good enough to win. They also have to be focused, and we'll see. I mean, having at Alabama 2 weeks later, then you got LSU right after that. It'll be really easy to overlook Tulane. You could make a case that that might be the most important of the bunch.
Bill, other than Georgia and Alabama, LSU, nationally, are we looking at the usual suspects, Big Ten, Ohio State, Michigan, Southern Cal? What am I missing here?
I think, whoever the best team is in the Pac-12, it could be USC, but Oregon maybe, Washington maybe, Penn State in the Big Ten, they're going to have a lot more upside, I think, than they did a couple of years ago. And if their quarterback sticks, you know, lives up to five-star hype, they could be a team that has top five potential. They'll have to beat two other teams that have top five potential. So we don't really know how far that'll go. But I think beyond that, it is kind of a usual suspect situation. I do think Tennessee, really, really curious where they land in the preseason polls. I could see anywhere between about 6th and 15th, honestly. And I think they absolutely have top 6 or 7 potential at least. Joe Milton, if he sticks at quarterback this time, they have a lot of what they need. So it's gonna be fun. Usual suspects, a few new names, but I think we know who's starting off on top at least.
Bill, many thanks. Bill Connelly joining us, getting us ready for the college football season. The basketball season is well underway today, of course, with the NCAA tournament games going on. There have been the biggest upset of the day so far. Furman hit a shot with 2.5 seconds left to upset Virginia. But beating Virginia in the NCAA tournament, I mean, that's a standard fare. They lost. They're the only team and only number one in history to lose in the first round. Other than that, Maryland survives in Birmingham over West Virginia. Maryland will likely play Alabama, which is up right now, struggling 26-17. The Alabama looks pretty bored. Kansas is pulling away from Howard, and it looks like Missouri under first-year coach Dennis Gates is about to dust off Utah State. That's a game. That's a 7-10 game. A lot of people were picking Utah State. So that's a quick update. Many games after in the second session. We'll update you on all of them when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back. Alabama leading by 14 in Birmingham in the game against the 16 seed. Missouri has won its first NCAA tournament game in 13 years, advancing on. Great season for Dennis Gates in his first year. Jim is up next.
I don't know really what to say to you, but I can tell you this. I've talked to two lawyers. And they tell me that you've crossed the line, especially with this lies about me being schizophrenic. That's a lie from hell. That's a lie, period. Like the guy said the other day, you're an accuser of the brethren. And I'm not your brethren, I tell you that. But what you've done is beyond defamation of character. It's slander at its worst. You've caused me irreparable damage, probably, they say. And I'm looking at whatever they advise me to do. It will be done, and I will not be on your show anymore. I can promise you that. I'm not going to subject myself to this crap, this lie, this defamation. This is evil, Paul. This is going to hurt you eventually worse than it hurts me. I'll promise you that. I don't know what you got to say, but you can't help me. I don't need your help. I don't need help. You're the one that needs help, Paul. You're immoral. You're very immoral. That's all I can say, but I'm telling you, these lawyers tell me you have crossed the line, and that Logan guy saying what he said, those are all lies. None of that's true. I don't hear voices, Paul.
Well, Jim, if you want to make threats, make threats. If you'd like to have a conversation, have a conversation.
No, I've already talked. There's no threat to it. I've just warned you what's going to happen. What you've already done is irreparable. It's damage irreparable. Now, what's your confirmation? I've never heard anybody do something like that on public radio with a show of your standard that used to be good standard doing something like that. I cannot believe you've done that.
Well, but first of all, Jim, as you probably know, a caller said they knew you going back.
That's a lie. That is a lie. The guy said I was frail. I don't know. You know that's made up crap.
Jim, just for the record, I've never met you, so I don't know what you look like.
Well, I'm 6'3". Everybody in town knows me. I'm 6'3", 200 pounds. He said I was frail. That's a lie.
He said you were frail and you were small.
That's a lie.
He said when you were. You were a good athlete, but I'm just repeating what he said.
Wait a minute.
He said when you were in high school, a bunch of guys picked on you all the time, and you quit.
Nobody's ever picked on me. Those are lies. Those are lies.
Jim, these are not my words. I've never met you, so I wouldn't know what you looked like in high school.
The point I'm making, you know as well as I do.
He also said you were old.
I'm not. Look, Paul, I don't care. I'm not arguing with you. I'm telling you, those are lies. That's slander. You know people make up things. You used to have Johnny Brock on the other show call and act like he was somebody else. And
Jim,
tell things
I want you to know, in no way do we condone anyone defaming your character. That is not the intent of this conversation.
That's all. That guy, Randy, that's a phony name. He doesn't know me. I'm not small, Paul. I'm not frail. I'm 6'3" and weigh 200 pounds.
You understand? I mean, I hope you don't do this, what you're suggesting. You do understand?
No, I'm going to do whatever it takes to stop you and get back at you for what you've done to me.
Well, Jim, I want you to know that we have never set out to do anything to you other than to prop you up.
Look, people who know me have been talking this morning to me. They're furious at what you've said. They know me well. They know I'm not what you said. They know it's a lie. It's an outrageous lie against my character. Outrageous. I mean, it's serious stuff. And I thought you had sense enough to know that.
But Jim, I want you to know I would never do anything perfect. I mean, to me, this is just fun.
You've already done it. You've already given place to it. You've already picked at it and provoked it. You've done it. That's what you do.
Jim, I'm trying to make it clear to you that we would never do anything intentionally to hurt you.
You've already done it. You've already done it. It's a lie what you're saying. You can't cover up what you've already done. You've already done it. People have heard it. People heard the tape last night. I let them listen to it. And they're sharp people. That's all I can tell you, baby. Wait and see. You have defamed me outrageously. I don't hear voices. You got this little Logan liar who hates me. You got plenty of people that hate me. I know that.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.